Welcome, Patreon contributor. Thank you very much for contributing and being part of the show. This is our content for you. I was going to say a different word, but I left it out.
This is for you.
This is okay. The low format, rough draft, unedited, just for you.
Raw.
Craig was, we talked about, was it the MST3K and how they say keep circulating the tapes? And
yes.
Craig was wondering where all the VCRs go.
Yeah, no.
I broadened that to more of the old tech. Where does it go? Now, I have a VCR.
Are you still got one? Okay.
I have one. It's in the guest house. Just in case, because I think we have a few. Do we have any tapes over there? Just in case anybody brings a tape. Why do we have a VCR in the guest house?
So you can watch
it. Because we didn't want it in the main house. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But okay. We do have some VHS left, I'm pretty sure, somewhere. And I'd like to transfer some of those to digital. That's why I have it. And if you go to, say, Goodwill or a thrift shop, you can usually find a VCR for $20 or less.
Well, the only reason I brought it up, partly because I started seeing that screen capture says circulate the tapes, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. And then I saw something earlier before we started recording the show, and it was an 80s themed video on YouTube. And
yes,
the guy had this video with, and it was smoking. And I was like, you know, there was a time when everybody had a VCR.
And it wasn't that long ago either.
No. And within a short period of time, DVDs took over. And poof, where'd all the VCRs go? Where did they go?
Landfill, recycling.
That's a lot of VCRs, though.
It is a lot of VCRs. I mean, a lot of them are still there. Some people still have them on their entertainment centers, on their shelves. Not everybody goes and upgrades overnight.
Yeah, but I would imagine by this time, videotapes are starting degrading and stuff. No, I mean, wait a minute, I'm getting off track.
No, the tapes, I'm just curious. My tapes held up pretty well.
Well, they should, especially some of the better tapes.
As long as you don't keep them near, you know, an electromagnet.
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering. Do you okay, let's broaden that a little bit more. What do you do with your old electronic stuff you get rid of? You just toss it, or do you recycle it?
No, I e-cycle it.
I know you've recycled it when you were in Wisconsin before.
I've done it here. There are stores. I can't remember what it is. It's not Best Buy. Maybe it is Best Buy.
Well, I do know Best Buy will take something.
Yeah. I think Staples might do it also. I've got a couple places that I go around here because every once in a while, you know, I just replaced a whole bunch of landscaping lights, the solar powered night lights. Those have a little circuit board in them. Okay. You can't just chuck it in the garbage anymore.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I have a box that accumulates electronic stuff, or I'll be cleaning out the closet with all the, you know, podcasting supplies. And it's like, you know, I'm never, ever going to use this Radio Shack 4-channel mixer again.
Right.
With only 1/4-inch inputs. So let's get rid of it. Now, that was like the very first mixer I ever got back in 93 when I was putting audio onto a VHS.
Audio onto a VHS.
Well, wow. Yeah, I had videotaped Julie's ultrasound because they were doing the ultrasound machine on Donna, and I had taken my camcorder, not one of those big shoulder harness kind, but it was a smaller one. It was like not a high eight. It was it might have been a high eight because it wasn't a VHS-C, but it was a high eight video camera, and I videotaped it. I just aimed it at the CRT of the ultrasound. I thought there was another acronym in there somewhere, but there wasn't. And I had the video, but I wanted to overdub it with, I think I used Paco Bell's Canon to do that. So now whenever I hear Paco Bell's Canon, I think of Julie's ultrasound. So I needed this little 4-channel mixer. That's just one example of electronic stuff. Moving into this house, Mike left me a bunch of stuff. Some of it wasn't even hooked up.
Did he? I don't think he moved out.
He moved out. He just kind of took a garage sale approach on me.
I think his idea of moving out is just wandering down the sidewalk out off to the sunset.
Right.
Left all the stuff behind.
Yeah. Don't have to take care of that. Cross a half dozen things off of my honey-do list.
That's Chuck's problem now.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Well, wouldn't you say, looking back on, you know, the life of stuff, wouldn't you say that switching over from VHS to DVDs was probably like the biggest shift, quickest shift you've probably seen?
Not for me personally, because it's all about what media you have. I mean, we had a big investment, still do actually, into Disney movies, because Aladdin only comes out once every so often. So as they were coming out, we piled on that bandwagon. And then once they came out, once they stopped producing that and say, hey, all of a sudden DVDs are out. Well, they didn't say, oh, here's Fox and Hound and here's Aladdin and here's Lion King 1, 2, and 3.5. They didn't dump on you because you couldn't get them that fast. So ours was more of a gradual transition. And then when we got a critical mass, I don't know what it was, 2 or 3. Actually, we had a few portable DVDs first that we would take with us in the vehicle. So while we were doing road trips, that's when the girls would usually watch DVDs. In fact, we had we had portable VHS players first that would go in the vehicle with us. We had,
that's ridiculous. A
built-in, all-in-one, I think it was a 9-inch CRT and VHS in one, and we put it in a milk crate between between the seats in the minivan, and the girls would watch that. And
don't have an accident.
And then they graduated up to a portable DVD player, and then eventually we got the kind that hung over the backs of the seats. So, I mean, I think we had the portable DVD player in the vehicles before we had one at home, because we were watching more videos on the road. Donald looks at me like, I don't know.
Well, I made copies of movies and stuff for them, for Harrison to, and Kim to take, because when they travel to see her mom. So they travel pretty frequently for a while. And so portable DVD, I was like, why would I take a videotape? Now,
I'm more surprised at the transition from VHS had been around for a long time. Yeah, I remember we were renting VHS tapes in the 80s.
And it was a few years, and all of a sudden you're dealing with DVDs.
Right, but look how fast DVDs have come and gone. I think I don't even like to buy DVDs anymore or Blu-rays, because it's got to be digital. If I'm going to buy a movie, I want a digital format that I can play on anything.
Right. And I am more prone now. So, I mean, like the last two Marvel films.
Yeah.
Or Star Wars Rogue One. I bought it on Google Play, and I'm not really considering buying it.
Videotapes lasted, about 25 years? And from DVD to Blu-ray to digital was less than 10.
Right.
Like that's scary how fast that changed. So I'm glad I didn't make a heavy investment in a whole bunch of movies. Like, hey, let's get the Star Wars trilogy. Well, I did get the Star Wars trilogy on DVD. I don't know if I got on Blu-ray.
But what I'm saying is that was a short turnover period.
Right.
Although, but if you look back at like cassettes and to CDs, they overlapped for a long time, through the early 90s.
And CDs were around for a very, very long time as well.
Mm-hmm.
One could argue that CDs are still around. Vinyl is still around. It's making a resurgence.
Oh, yeah. They're great. I gave Kim a turntable for Christmas.
I have a turntable right here in the studio. It's the one I bought in 1984. I had to replace the receiver and I had to replace the belt, but it still works. I'm working on digitizing some of the old vinyl, complete with scratches and scrapes. I should play some on the show sometime.
Yeah.
But Lisa actually wanted me to refurbish that because she wanted to play it when she was in high school. She said, Dad, I have some vinyl records. Can you get this working again? Well, what I thought was going to be a $15 just go get a new belt turned into, now I need a receiver.
I need new speakers. I need a whole.
No, I was able to salvage some old speakers that I had. But it was in the guest house until about, shortly before we did the Airbnb thing. So about 6 months ago. And I said, might as well move it into the studio and hook it up to the big board so I can digitize easier.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't see how, I think the reason, part of the reason that there was such a quick turnover to DVDs is because convenience. I mean, screwing around with those big tapes, having to rewind them, you know, and they break.
Yeah.
To go to a DVD where you just pop it in, there's a menu, hit play. That's pretty convenient. Same thing with tapes to CDs. I was pretty happy.
Take this discussion into the corporate world. Think about your backups that you did over the years. I remember when I started as a sysadmin, like back in 1980, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it was cartridge tapes, and then cartridge tapes, we went to 8mm, and then 8mm, we went, you know, so we had multiple media along the way, and sometimes multiple media at the same time. We got 4mm over there, we got 8mm over there, it was crazy how many different formats we had. And then those technologies would become obsolete. Sure enough, 5 years after you decommissioned the system that it used to run on, somebody says, can you get me that old job project directory off of tape? Actually, no.
Yeah. We just threw the last tape machine away.
There was one case where we had to haul a couple old systems out of the warehouse and hook up, they were old Apollo systems, hook up the old tape drive. Thank goodness some of the stuff worked, and I was the only one who knew how to work it. And we got as much stuff off of that system onto the new network, because, you know, storage gets cheaper, and you can, what used to take an entire hard drive, like, oh my gosh, this was, you know, 300 megabytes worth of storage, and it took a whole hard drive. Now 300 megabytes, you go, I can put a few of those on a thumb drive and not even bat an eyelash.
Take them on your phone.
Right. So the media doesn't become the object anymore. Well, it does when it's obsolete. You know, and you need, you not only need the magnetic drive. So I would have to go get an old exabyte, 8mm, 5 gig storage tape drive. What do you hook it up to? You got to have the hardware, and you got to have the interface, and you got to have the operating system, and you got to have the software in many cases to be able to pull that off. And I'm like, oh man, you know, imagine if somebody gave you an old Arcata backup disk went before Seagate bought, what was the name of that software? It was the Windows backup software we used to use all the time. But before Seagate bought it, it was Arcata Backup Exec.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Like, can you get anything off of that tape if you did not have Backup Exec? I don't know.
I don't know either.
You know, so some of those formats were proprietary. Some were extensions. Because the one that I used to use was an extension of like native, like a Unix tar. They would build an index and put that on. But if you didn't have it, you could still get your tar files off of there. It was slower. It was an index. You'd have to retrieve everything and then sift through it rather than saying, go to this tape position and then start reading a file. And so, you know, there were ways around that, but still, good luck going and finding an old Solaris version 7 system from 1997.
I think I can torrent that.
Go to the Computer History Museum and say, I have a job I need to restore.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a machine that can help me out here.
Right. You get that 1401 online yet?
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah, that was a problem with proprietary formats.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in many cases, the advantage was it was often faster. They had better compression than the native operating system. You could do more advanced procedures like fast forward to block position, you know, 0x 14, 52, 32, hike, and then do the, you know, so the tape would go and then stop and start reading.
Yeah.
Rather than you know, to finally get up there 6 hours later. Go, was it this file? No. Was it this file? No. Was it this file? No. So the entertainment media isn't as scary to me as the corporate media that's become obsolete.
The only thing that scares me about getting digital movies and stuff is is what Microsoft pulled a while back. Remember they had a early on when they had their own music service, and for Zune or something. Maybe it was before, I think it was before Zune. I'm trying to remember Place for Sure or something. What's the name of it?
I don't remember. Zune was the first one I knew of.
Well, it was before Zune. They had this music service, and then I remember they had this announcement that they were going to shut it down. So it's like all your music that you bought, well, by the way, the licenses aren't going to be any good.
Well,
so
that gets into the whole thing. Did you really buy it, or did you buy a license to use it?
Right. So
it's not like you have a physical media anymore. I mean, I've kind of come to the appreciation, whether it's Google Music or Amazon Music or something, I'm just making playlists of other people's music. I have a license to listen to it, but the day I cancel my subscription to Amazon Prime, that's not my music anymore. My playlist is gone, and I'm okay with that.
Well, you can keep the playlist, but not the music on there.
What I'm going to build, there's one thing about Amazon Music that bothers me right now.
What's that?
Is that let's say I'm building a classical music list right now.
Okay.
And I go and look for Rossini, and it pulls up 3 Rossini albums. And I say, great. First, I have to add it to my music, and then I have to go into my music and add it to my playlist. Why can't I do that all in one step?
Sure.
Yeah, if I click into the album, then I can say, add it to my music, and then go check, 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 check on each song and add those to my playlist once it's been added to my music. So I am going to find a REST API that does this in one step.
And well, like you're building a library and then you're organizing the library.
That's no fun. Because what I found is when I added Rossini and then I went back to my music albums, I couldn't find the blasted thing. I've got 212 albums in there, and somebody's been putting in music like Lisa or Donna along with my music. So, and I'm looking through it alphabetically. I'm like, where is the picture of, where's the Rossini album with the apple on it? I've got 3 Rossini albums, and 2 of them are showing up in here. Where the Frankenstein is this thing? And that's what it drives me nuts. I tell you what's in there. But if I can get a REST API to return a JSON object, I'm just going to dump that. I'm trying to remain civil here because it is bothering me. I've been building this list for a couple of weeks, and I keep running into the same fracking problem.
Yeah, well, I've had a similar problem. On Google Music, when they first launched, they allowed you to, or you still can, I believe, you can upload up to 20,000 of your songs, maybe more, but it was about 20,000.
Yeah, that's kind of like iTunes does.
Well, no, I mean, these were like MP3s I had on my machine.
Yeah.
I could upload them, anything. Not just doing the match and all that. I guess you can do that with iTunes. So I did that, and I, of course, started seeing, why does my ID tags look like this? And I started editing tags, and I pretty much cleaned it up by after all these years. But, you know, I just know one day this could all go away and
yep. Yeah. And that's the thing about digital music. But,
oh, I'm sorry. I meant to talk about what you said. I've added stuff to my library and I go, okay, where's it at? And I start looking because I've got a bunch of stuff. I have like 80s compilations where all the tracks were individual. It still said albums and stuff like that. So when I uploaded them here, they look like different albums for one song.
Shoot, you just reminded me of something I got to do before knowledge.
But remember, we're on the show here.
I know. Build playlists.
Hey, by the way, you'll get a kick out of this. All right, everybody. When we record the show, I'm looking at Chuck through a webcam.
Yes.
On Skype. Well, I noticed his webcam, it must have changed position. Look at your text, Chuck. And look at the picture I sent you.
Look at the text and
on your phone. On your phone. Look at a text I just sent you on your phone. And look at this is what I was looking at the whole time. You look like a pirate.
Okay. I'm pulling it up now. Oh, because the webcam's right over my eye. Yarr, I got a Microsoft Life Cam in me face. That's because you're looking at me through the webcam that's attached to the monitor, and everybody else is looking at me through this one that's on a copper pipe.
Yeah.
That's the one that goes to the video machine. So yours is just for convenience, not for broadcast.
I know. I just thought it was funny because I was looking at the silver the silver dot over your eye.
I might have to shorten that copper pipe a little bit. Yeah. The reason I had to write that down is because I am teaching one of our two-day courses. The whole thing about playlists came up. And I think it was 2013 I taught my first course. Maybe it was 2012. And I'm sort of an adopted child of our training department. And my talents only come into play once a year. That I was teaching the first course. And during the labs, you know, you lecture for a little while. You show people slides. You do some examples. And they say, good, now you go do it. And build yep. what I just told you about. And I thought, it's really dull and boring in here while they got heads down. So I said, you guys want some music? And I pulled up one of my Pandora stations, and then I'd change playlists. So during one break, we're playing classical, and during one lab, we're doing 80s classic rock, and then another reggae.
You should slot into some punk.
We had
70s punk.
I always ask. I say, look, if this is disturbing anyone and you can't focus, let me know. I don't want to make it a burden. Well, Michelle Corona, one of our training people, came around and said,
"Yes,
are you playing music in here?" And she would come around just to see, every few minutes, just to see what music we were playing, because I keep switching it up. Reggae, yeah. That's interesting. When we were in Vegas, I'd play Elvis. Viva Las Vegas, and that sort of stuck on. And now other instructors are doing that as well. You know, you gotta keep people not just educated but entertained. Give them more than they expect.
For one, you're all sitting in a room, you know, listening to you speak. I mean, it's right for being bored.
Yep.
Not necessarily, I'm not talking about you specifically, just being in a training environment kind of thing.
When you build your tables, make sure to click
F1.
Auto number to generate numbers automatically. It's not like that at all. No. People who listen to this know there's an energy that comes out. When I present, I have fun. In fact, I am looking. That is the two most favorite days of that whole conference is the pre-con training that I do. And I was so stoked that I get to do it again because it was a close call.
Okay, so as of today, you're still doing it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm
doing the app creation course.
Very cool.
Yeah. I have to go and validate some stuff, but I've been putting more focus on doing our live demo on Tuesday and Wednesday for our Tech Now. For those who are listening, if you don't know, Craig and I and Dave Slusher also do a webinar series for work called Tech Now. If you go to the ServiceNow community channel on YouTube, you'll see it. If you want to see three old podcasters doing something in a corporate environment and having fun with it, it's fun.
I'll put a link in the little show notes in the parody, so you can go at least go look at it. If you're whether you watch the whole thing or not, it'd be fun. Yeah, to see
if you don't work in the platform, it probably doesn't make any sense. But you get to go, hey, there's Chuck and Craig, and this is part of what we do for our job. We've got another one coming up live Thursday at. Did we say noon Pacific this time? I think we're back on the noon schedule. We did an 8 a.m.
Yeah,
to get some UK people.
Yeah, so that was a little early last time.
On the 13th is going to be our live show. We will be doing this. So if you want to catch us live, you can do that. Subscribe to the channel. Get notified and all the YouTube standard stuff. And you will see us. We're talking about JSON. Understanding JSON. JavaScript Object Notation. So got that one all ready to rock too. And then the big one that I've been rehearsing over and over, and timing is critical because we have 40 minutes across 40 minutes on Tuesday and 40 minutes on Wednesday to build an entire application. So I'm finding out what
fits
where.
You're going to do this all by yourself? Cause you were doing this the other day and didn't know you were. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are there for color commentary, but we're going to have to keep it tight and moving along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to stick in, that's cool. I do that all the time. Or here's a little trick, but we're going to have to keep the banter kind of short, especially on day one. I do have a few minutes on day two that we can work with, but I'll talk to you. That we've just degraded into a work conversation somehow.
Yeah, we went from where? What happened to the VCRs? The work?
That was 10 minutes ago. That means we must be done. That's 25 minutes that we just contributed actually, to our Patreon people.
You know what? That's probably not a bad name for a podcast. What happened to all the VCRs?
Write that down for next week.
Yeah, we'll write that down.
Thank you very much for joining us. And once again, thank you for your contributions in Patreon. Your help is greatly appreciated. Till next time.
Yes. Thank you. 101.